From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend. I had a great week. My thanks to Russ Jones for filling in last week while I was out, at least part of the week, on my annual deer hunting trip in Southern Virginia, followed by our Thanksgiving celebration, which, by the way, included enough sweet potato crunch to provide leftovers through the weekend. Should be enough to hold me over until Christmas. We'll see. But for now, it's back to work as we focus on this lame duck session of Congress. Now, with the increasing tension and volatility at the U.S.-Mexican border, the question is, will the president secure funding for a wall before the end of the year? At which time, the gavel changes hands from Paul Ryan to a Democrat speaker. Most likely, it'll be Nancy Pelosi. We'll find out on Wednesday who the next speaker will be. But over the weekend, hundreds of migrants tried to breach the U.S. border with Mexico. Homeland Security shut down a key border crossing Sunday amid the first signs of violence from the migrant caravans camped out on the Mexican side of the border. In just a moment, we'll talk with Congressman Ron Estes. He serves on the Homeland Security Committee. Also on Friday, the Trump administration, in a rare request, asked the Supreme Court to expedite a decision on the president's policy to reverse an Obama-era policy that forced transgenderism on the U.S. military. The decision, blocked at the district court level, is now pending before an appellate court. Now, what is the likelihood that the nation's highest court will take the case? And is the president on solid legal footing? Ken Klukowski, legal editor for Breitbart News, has those answers. And U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley denounced the actions of Russia earlier today at an emergency meeting of the U.N. Security Council. This coming after Russia fired on Ukrainian ships near Crimea. How great of a risk is there of war breaking out between these two nations, and why should we care? FRC's own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin will weigh in on that matter later here on Washington Watch. Also, I plan to take your phone calls on this Monday afternoon. Let me remind you the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. By the way, tomorrow kicks off an international day of giving to nonprofit causes known as hashtag Giving Tuesday. But you don't have to wait to be a part of the movement to advance religious liberty. Thanks to a generous donor, the Family Research Council is kicking off Giving Tuesday early with a $25,000 challenge match. It's a $25,000 challenge match. Every dollar you give will be matched. It'll be doubled. So go to TonyPerkins.com. Find out how you can be a part of that. All right. President Trump is threatening to shut down the border indefinitely. Also says he's willing to shut down the government unless he gets funding to build a wall on the southern border. Now, this comes as a large number of migrants rush the Tijuana border, attempting to push through the port of entry in California. And others tried to breach the fences surrounding the port. They also threw projectiles, rocks and stuff at the border guards, who responded with tear gas. The entry point was closed for 5 hours yesterday. The migrant caravan members, totaling as many as almost 11,000, have been massing on the Mexican side of the border in recent weeks, according to Homeland Security officials. With us now is Congressman Ron Estes. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Kansas, and he serves on the Homeland Security Committee. Congressman Estes, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back.
How significant is this conflict, what's taking place on the border, where you have people trying to really enter the country illegally? You have Homeland Security having to use tear gas to guard the border. What do we foresee unfolding here?
Well, I think it's a very significant thing. You know, from a standpoint, one of the major responsibilities of the federal government is defense of our country. And one of the responsibilities that you have in doing that is making sure who comes into the country. And, you know, we're a nation of immigrants. We've all immigrated here from somewhere. But there's a process to do that. And particularly for folks that want legitimate asylum, there's a way to do that. And that's the story that gets talked about a lot. What really doesn't get talked about is these gangs of mostly men that are out there trying to basically march on our country and force their way in. And that's one, it's not fair to the folks that have tried to follow the legal process, but also it's a dangerous precedent to set to allow them to come on board. And so we need to continue to have a strong and secure border. Obviously, we could see from some of the pictures that were taken with the folks throwing rocks and projectiles and other items, that the fences may not be enough. We may need taller. I know there's been some work and budget and study in how we can make the border more secure with better fencing or wall structures, particularly in Southern California, where it really does just adjoin residential area in Mexico as well.
Now, the press reports kind of indicating that these are families trying to cross the border, but reports from the Homeland Security officials, Border Patrol, they're on the scene, say most of these are men that were approaching and trying to get across the border.
That's right. It is mostly men. What we're also seeing is the few women and children that are in the group, they're being pushed forward by the men so that they're paraded in front of the cameras. But at the meantime, it's still mostly men. And, we don't know who's in that group. We don't know who's backing this group. We don't know what all their motivation is. Parts of what we're seeing with some of this process is just gang members that want to work their way into the country. And obviously there's so much trouble that we've had in so many parts of our country now with the MS-13 gangs and others that, just the general rule of law within the United States is being broken down. And we need to make sure that we have good, strong, secure borders. And, you know, the president's right, President Trump, in terms of making sure that is the job of the country. The federal government has that responsibility. And, you know, even President Obama had to use tear gas at the border and actually going through that process when there were previous examples of migrants trying to sneak across the border.
Now, Congressman Estes, there are those who are saying, well, look, these are just people. They're fleeing countries where there's violence, there's poverty. They're seeking asylum. And they want to seek asylum in this country. Well, that sounds easy, but seeking asylum is a very complex process, and it's only intended for certain individuals.
That's right. I mean, there really is two stories that we're talking about here. There are those folks that are legitimately seeking asylum, that there is a genuine, honest threat to their life and well-being from their government, and that's the piece that gets played up more. But the overwhelming majority of these folks don't seem to be in that category. They seem to be in the second category, that they're just trying to get into the country illegally. They're trying to push their way in violently and making sure that they can get on board to take advantages of the lifestyle we have in America or to join up with gang members that are already here. And that's a piece that, federal government, we have to make sure that we have the responsibility to control the borders, make sure that we know who comes into the country and make sure what their intentions are.
I think it's very important to highlight something you said there when we're talking about those seeking asylum. Those individuals are ones that are being targeted, persecuted by their government, not that they're living in countries that are where the law is broken down, where the rule of law is not functioning, and as a result there's societal chaos and corruption, which is what we see in many of these countries, quite frankly. Guatemala, El Salvador, even Guatemala, Honduras as well. But that doesn't necessarily give people a right to come to this country and violate the laws, because what they're actually doing is breaking down the rule of law here, which would lead to what they have down there.
That's right. I mean, the law that allows asylum for individuals is because of their persecution from the government, not just because they're poor and have limited means to earn a living, and certainly not if they're a criminal element and they want to break the laws here just like they're breaking the laws there. And so we want to make sure that for legitimate asylum seekers, there is a process. Granted, it is very cumbersome. It is complex to go through that
process.
The length of time, I mean, part of what we've built into the laws, I mean, there's so many things in our immigration system that needs to be redone. Yes. To make it more streamlined, to help address some of these issues that we're facing in the 21st century.
I agree. Wholeheartedly, we need to overhaul of our immigration system, but it begins with controlling our borders, which I think this president is doing, because as you said, and other sources have made very clear, that gang members have infiltrated these caravans, these people that are coming, in groups, and we don't know who's there. And so the president, his administration, has a right to protect this country, which is what he is doing. Now, you made reference to the fact that in some places the fence is not sufficient. It's going to require a different type of structure. That's why the president continues to talk about the wall. Of course, that's metaphorical in some cases where different means will be used to secure the border. But the president is indicating that he's willing to fight over this in the final funding bill for this year. What's your sense among your colleagues, Republicans, as they'll be handing over the gavel to the Democrats at the end of the month? Do you think the Republicans are willing to stay and fight on this?
Well, I think this really just highlights this caravan of migrants that are trying to march into the country. It just highlights why we need to have better border security. And as you said, you know, in parts of the wall, in parts of the border, it makes sense to have a wall or fence. Other parts, it doesn't make sense at all to have a physical wall, but it does make sense to use surveillance techniques. And so, you know, when we get back, we've got December 7th is when the continuing resolution runs out for Homeland Security budget for this year, or the appropriations process. And I think it's one of these things that it's obviously in the news now, and I think it's going to be a bigger issue that the American citizens see, that we want to have stronger border security, and I think that's something that's going to play out well to help support the president. You know, he was elected to strengthen our borders, yes. And that's what the American people wanted.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. We're glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Congressman Ron Estes, my guest from Kansas, talking about the unfolding drama on the southern border to the U.S. and Mexico. Let me switch gears for just a couple minutes we've got left, Congressman Estes. On Wednesday, the House Democrats are scheduled to have a closed-door vote selecting their nominee, if you will, for Speaker, which will be voted on formally in January when Congress, the new Congress, convenes. Right now, it appears that Nancy Pelosi working diligently to lock that up. Is that going to happen for her?
You know, it sounds like it's getting that way. Last week, it appeared very much in doubt that she was going to be obtain their nomination. But it sounds like she's either twisted enough arms or made enough promises or committee assignments or commitments to fund this bill or do this project. And it sounds like there's more and more people that are starting to back her. So at the end of the day, I think she will get their nomination to be the speaker for the Democrat Party.
All right. Congressman Ron Estes, thanks so much for joining us. And look forward to seeing you back in D.C.
All right. Thank you.
All right. All right, folks. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come. Coming up next, Ken Kulkowski joins us with discussion on the president's request to the Supreme Court. Don't go away. Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the 5-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage. For more information, about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, known as SOCE, claiming that they are fraudulent, ineffective, and harmful. But are they? LGBT activists claim that sexual orientation is immutable and can't be changed by therapy or counseling. They also claim that people who attempt to change their sexual orientation end up more depressed and suicidal. As it turns out, studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are in fact very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. For a thorough analysis of all the major studies done on the effectiveness of SOCE, visit frc.org/SOCE. Again, that's frc.org/SOCE.
Are you ready to take a stand? Now you can with FRC's new Stand Firm mobile app, which allows you to stay engaged and informed on the most important issues facing our country. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on issues of faith, family, and freedom with just a tap of the screen. Listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins, and much more. Join Christians across America as we stand firm together. Visit frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. And as I mentioned, tomorrow is Giving Tuesday. And you can actually get a jump on that by, if you want to support Washington Watch and our work here in promoting religious freedom and all things conservative, you can take advantage of a $25,000 challenge match. Go to TonyPerkins.com to find out more. All right. The U.S. Solicitor General, Noel Francisco, petitioned the U.S. Supreme Court on Friday on behalf of the Trump administration to bypass two federal appeals courts and render a final decision on President Donald Trump's military transgender policy by the summer, by summer 2019. With us now is constitutional attorney Ken Klukowski. He is also senior legal editor for Breitbart News. He has a column on this issue on Breitbart.com that ran over the weekend. Ken, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Happy belated Thanksgiving, Tony. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much. It was a great Thanksgiving. Let me take you to two main questions I want to ask. First is this an unusual legal move for the president to petition the Supreme Court to take this case before the appellate court has heard it?
Extremely unusual, almost unheard of.
But it has happened.
Yes, the last time, in fact, the last time the Supreme Court has granted this was in the year, it was around New Year's 2002 going into 2003. So it's been 16 years since the Supreme Court has granted what we call a Rule 11 cert petition. That's for Supreme Court Rule 11, also called cert before judgment, granting certiorari before judgment. Aside from that, I am only aware of it having happened four or five times in the past 100 years. So I'd say it's about once every 20 years that you see something like that happening in terms of the court actually taking it. Now, of course, any member of the Supreme Court bar could file for that kind of procedural matter. The U.S. Solicitor General occupies a unique position in the legal landscape of the country. It's the full weight and prestige of the U.S. government. So even though those things might be on the rule books at the Supreme Court, it's only under the most extraordinary circumstances that the Solicitor General would ask for it. We have seen it happen at least three times during the Trump administration because in response to the absolutely unprecedented epidemic that we have been seeing of individual district court judges, uniformly liberal district judges, issuing nationwide injunctions against the president's policies and refusing to stay those decisions, so blocking them nationwide and letting that block go into effect while the matter is on appeal, leading the Solicitor General to take this extremely unusual move of needing to ask the U.S. Supreme Court to jump in right away because those lawsuits were filed in districts in the most liberal federal appeals courts where the Justice Department knew that the appeals court would not give any relief either.
All right, let's step back for just a moment, Ken, to talk about the issue at hand and whether or not the president is on solid legal footing with his decision. This goes back to the 11th hour decision by the Obama administration on the way out the door, essentially, where they said, all right, we're going to allow transgenderism in our nation's military, and this is going to go into effect. It was kind of like a ticking time bomb. It would go effect, take a full effect in the next administration. The president last summer, actually, it would be summer, it'd be a year ago, made the decision that, look, this is too costly. It's disruptive to what the military is for. I'm reversing this policy that was put in unilaterally by the Obama administration. Doesn't the president, as the commander-in-chief, have the authority to do what, to undo what the previous commander-in-chief did?
Absolutely no question that he does. And secondly, if there were any other branch that would have a say in it, on one hand, Article 1 says of the Constitution says the Congress establishes for the raising of armies and to establish the discipline for the armed forces. Article 2 says the president is the commander-in-chief. So it's between those two political branches that all of these decisions are being made. The lawsuits that we have seen dragging this matter into the Article 3 branch, the third branch of government, the courts, is people claiming for the first time ever, claiming a constitutional right to expressing a transgender sexual identity. And where you've had judges coming in saying that, yes, this is a right, and it overrides the president's determination, overrides the fact that Congress has not weighed in on this matter in favor of transgender individuals and have asserted a judicially superior role on this, claiming that there's a constitutional right here that overrides all of the decisions of the elected branches of government, which are the only ones that the Constitution primarily entrusts national security and military matters to.
Ken Kulkowski, doesn't this provide a perfect example of the judicial overreach that we have been seeing in this country for the last five decades, in which the president has made a focal point of his administration?
This is about as egregious as it gets in terms of courts jumping into a subject matter where the Constitution gives them almost no role whatsoever. I'm not going to say it's zero role, but it is an absolute minimum role where the president is acting in a military matter, acting consistent with the legal framework that Congress has put in place for the discipline of the armed services, and where Congress is taking no action that's inconsistent with the president's determination. The fact that a previous president tried to unilaterally assert it, and the current president is unwinding it by precisely the same process. And then you get a judge saying, no, that's a one-way ratchet. Once a president has done it, no other president can undo it. That is that is extraordinary.
We're up against a break very quickly. Will the president succeed in this appeal to the Supreme Court?
Hard for me to say whether or not the Supreme Court will take it immediately because, again, it's been 16 years since they've done it. Whether it is right away or a few months down the road, whether it's before judgment or after an appeals court judgment, one way or the other, I believe the Supreme Court will take it. The question
gotta
is
leave
when.
It there. Ken Kulkowski, thanks so much. Coming up next, General Jerry Boykin joins us with what's happening in Russia and the Ukraine. Don't go away. Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Is Planned Parenthood a champion for women? In reality, Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading killer of unborn children. Despite this, they have been hailing themselves as the voice of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities today, their scandals continue to pile up. Planned Parenthood's current motto is care, no matter what. A more fitting motto would be profit, no matter what. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood. Again, that's frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is @TPerkins. All right. Earlier today, in an emergency session of the U.N. Security Council, U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Nikki Haley, had this to say.
We stand united in opposing Russia's attempt to discuss yesterday's serious escalation and in the Kerch Strait under an agenda item entitled Violation of the Borders of the Russian Federation. We strongly support Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity within its internationally recognized borders, extending to its territorial waters. We express our deep concern over the incident, which represents a dangerous escalation and violation of international law. We look forward to discussing Russia's provocation under the appropriate agenda item. Accordingly, we urge all council members to vote against the adoption of the agenda as proposed by Russia.
Ukraine and Russia may be on the brink of resuming their war after a major naval escalation where Russia's military fired on Ukrainian naval ships in the Black Sea, boarded and seized the ships. How serious of an incident was this? Where might it lead? Joining us now, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, retired from the United States Army, serves as the FRC's Executive Vice President, one of the original members of the U.S. Army's Delta Force. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. Glad to be with you.
All right. How serious of an incident was this that took place yesterday between Russia and Ukraine?
I think it's very serious, to state it simply. This was done in international waters. This was not in waters that Russia has any legitimate control over, and this is an act of war. As Nikki Haley said, this was a violation of international maritime law, and it's really an act of war. This could escalate very quickly.
Now, when Russia moved in earlier to take over this, to seize a part of this country, you know, the United States hasn't said a whole lot. I mean, is this something that the United States could be drawn into?
Well, it occurred in 2014 under the Obama administration, and there was really no real pushback at that time, which is why this requires a very swift and positive response. Could America be drawn into it? Well, I would propose to you that America is drawn into it. And that is because when Trump came into office, he did make a decision to provide lethal aid to the Ukrainians, where the previous administration had given them blanks and food. But he decided to actually help arm them with what they had been asking for since 2014. And that was lethal aid to help them to defend themselves. So I think that America is in it already. Now, could it draw us into a hot war? Well, I think that's a long shot at the moment, but it depends on the Russians. And Tony, I think that what Putin is doing is testing Donald Trump's leadership and the leadership of his administration.
Yeah, I kind of get that, you know, incrementally he's kind of, you know, starts with a toe in the water, goes a little deeper to see how far he can go. I mean, what is really behind Russia's thinking these days? I mean, it appears that they're trying to reestablish their, you know, I wouldn't say go as far as the USSR, but they clearly seem to be wanting to expand.
Yeah, they there's a lot of speculation that they are clearly trying to dominate that part of the world, all the way down into Central Asia and to a lesser extent, but the continent of Europe. Because if you combine this with the fact that Russia is trying to be the single largest oil and gas producer on the continent of Europe, you can see from an economic perspective that this has great benefits for the Russians. Now, I personally think that this is a win for the Russians at this point, because they now have control of the Sea of Azov, which means that the ships that come bring goods and supplies to the Ukrainians across the Sea of Azov are now restricted unless the Russians let them through, which they are letting a small trickle go through. But they also board them and inspect them, and they can turn any ship around at any time that they want to. So this puts a real bite in the economy of the Ukraine and in their very survival in terms of the, you know, consumer products, food and fuel and that type of thing. So this is a very serious situation, Tony.
How formidable of a military does Russia currently have?
Well, they let their military languish for years, so it's hard rebuilding it, and their economy is not in great shape. That said, for what they have to do in this situation, it is more than adequate. It is it's in good enough shape to be able to do what they have to do here if they're only dealing with the Ukraine.
Just another hot spot to be watching. General Jerry Boykin, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Enjoyed being with you, Tony.
All right, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, Executive Vice President here at the Family Research Council. All right, when we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines. I want to hear from you on this Monday afternoon. That's coming up next on this Monday edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're coming back to the phone lines right after this.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference? Now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together and advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just a tap of the screen. Sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins, or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app.
Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer to these questions should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, claiming they are ineffective and harmful. But are they? Studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. To find out more, visit frc.org/SOCE.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday afternoon. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. As I mentioned earlier, I absolutely did. It was great to be away for a week, and did part of the week, did a hunting trip with some friends, as well as my son, my oldest son, and my father. So we had a great time, successful, I should add. And then, of course, spending Thanksgiving with family, great weekend. Very relaxing. So hope you had one as well. And again, I want to thank Russ for filling in for me for the bulk of the week last week. All right, here's what I want to talk about. I know we've got some calls already lined up. We'll take your calls. I also want to get your thoughts on this. The president has suggested, and I think leaning very hard, to push and battle over funding for the border wall. And I use that to include border security. Some places, as we talked about earlier, that's a physical wall. In other places is a different configuration of security. Do you think the president should be willing to fight for that, even if it means temporarily shutting the government down, which would take place after next Friday, the 7th? Not this Friday, but the following Friday. 866-372-7234. Would you support the president in taking a stand on that? 866-372-7234. And again, let me remind you, tomorrow is Giving Tuesday, hashtag Giving Tuesday. It's a day internationally where nonprofits, people give to those nonprofit organizations. Well, if you want to stand with Washington Watch Family Research Council and our work on religious liberty, we've got a $25,000 challenge match. To find out how you can be a part of that, go to TonyPerkins.com. Every dollar you give will be doubled. Also, I know we've had some issues with our app. Some of you who listen via the app, we're working on that. That's some complications. Should have that straight soon, and I will let you know. But it's a great tool, so keep it on your smartphone. All right, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Iris in Texas. Iris, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Welcome back. I just wanted to ask you two things. Yeah, well, and I will make this comment. Yes, I would support President Trump completely shutting down the government for our security. He ran on that. America is for him, those that voted for him, and I think that he ought to go to the mat for this. And in regards to that, I would also like to ask you if you think he will go to the Supreme Court to have that order reversed in San Francisco by that judge there, that Obama appointee, about not allowing asylum except, you know, at the ports of entry, which is completely erroneous anyways. So I just wanted your comment on that. I thought that's what you were going to say when you talked about, you know, when you talked about him going to the Supreme Court. That came
right
out of left
well
field.
Iris, a good point. There's so many areas, as Ken Kulkowski made reference to, where the courts have, in an unprecedented manner, district courts, not the appellate level, but at the district courts, where you've had these district court judges who have ruled against the president. And normally, and I didn't get Ken to expound on this, but at a district court level, that decision, in most cases, historically, has only applied to that district. I mean, it's a part of the, I mean, because a district judge and a state can have multiple district judges. His decision then being applied to the entire nation. I mean, that elevates the role of that district court, and that's what's happening. It's what's happening on immigration. It's what's happening on the military. So I absolutely do think that the president should challenge these court decisions that I believe are, I think, unconstitutionally restricting the president's constitutional authority. Now, I do believe, that said, I do believe that the courts are there as a check and a balance. So I think you should be able to go through the courts. If you want to challenge a policy, I think you should be able to do that. But I do not think a district court judge, and you have these activists who are essentially do not want America to have borders, who venue shop. They go looking for a liberal judge in a liberal district, knowing that they're going to most likely get an Obama, Clinton appointee that's going to give them the decision that they want. And then it's going to be, in this case, applying it to the entire nation. That's wrong. Shouldn't be happening. And the president absolutely should challenge that. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Robert. Robert, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good morning, or good afternoon, I should say.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. So this morning, not knowing what you were going to talk about, I was mulling over this whole idea that one district court judge could overturn our highest leader. And I kind of want to urge other people to do this. It's something I did. I emailed my congressmen, senators, and whatnot, and basically posed and asked, why can't they pass a law or look into, I don't know if it'd have to be an amendment to the Constitution, all the red tape behind it, but basically giving the Supreme Court sole jurisdiction on the president's actions.
Interesting.
I mean, the courts are important, and he needs to be able to be checked, but
right,
it's ridiculous that one lower court can just overturn our president.
Right. Interesting. I don't have the answer to that, Robert, but I will actually, I'm going to look into that. We may discuss that tomorrow. I'm sure it would require congressional action. I don't know if it would require a constitutional amendment. I don't know. That's not my area of expertise, but I will check on it and find out. Interesting idea. I do think, though, Congress can restrict the, I mean, they actually established the jurisdictions of the court. It's called, the term they've used has been court stripping, taking away the authority of the courts to decide certain issues, which automatically kicks it up to the Supreme Court. So I guess that's what this would be. For instance, there was discussion a number of years ago I'm trying to think exactly what the topic was. I don't know if it was free exercise issues. There was some. I don't remember off the top of my head what the issue was. But to remove the jurisdiction of the lower courts from dealing with that issue, and then it would automatically kick it up to the Supreme Court. But, Robert, I'll look at that, see what I think that's what's required, but I'll double-check. 866-372-7234. Let's go to David in Tennessee. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thank you for all you do. Glad you had a successful hunting trip.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I am a government worker, and I absolutely support Trump and shutting down the wall, and if he has to what they say is really a shutdown of government, but it has very little impact. But I also like to say that, you know, on the lower courts, if they get overturned consistently by the Supreme Court, that they should really impeach that judge.
Yeah, yeah. And I think if the overreach, we were having a discussion about that recently, about removal of justices and its, you know, issues of good behavior. But if they're constantly overreaching, certainly gives Congress the justification, I think, to reach in and clip their wings. And I think you do that a couple of times, and they're going to back off. Now, that said, it's very unlikely that's going to happen in the next Congress, because the Democrats rely very heavily on activist courts to get their policies through, because they can't get people to vote for it, so they force it on people through the courts.
Absolutely.
David, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening. And by the way, on the issue of government funding, we've already got a couple of the big spending bills, appropriations bills, through. So it's not the entire government. Some of it's already funded. There's Homeland Security, I think Justice, and I'm not sure which other ones have yet to be funded. Military's been funded. HHS has been funded. So we're not talking about the entire government. But let's go to Joe in Ohio. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Mr. Perkins. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for your great guest and General Boykin. He's a wealth of knowledge. And one thing, I'm sure Trump and the conservatives will get blamed for whatever happens in the Ukraine, which you'll never hear the liberal media talk about, is the last 10 years, how the previous administration had deleted and depleted our military and defunded them. And then you get the evil players around the world that since that, you know, China, Russia, North Korea, Iran. So, I mean, I feel our military and our leaders are doing the best they can after being defunded for 10 years. And also I would urge your voters in Mississippi, your listeners in Mississippi, get out and vote. If you're a conservative or Republican or an independent, get out and vote for the Republican candidate. Is she a perfect candidate? No. But look what happened in Alabama. The conservatives and the Republicans and the independents stayed home. We got a liberal senator representing Alabama. He supports abortion. He supports same-sex marriage. So the candidate, I realize the Republican candidate now in Mississippi is not perfect, but we've got to fight these liberals. We can't hand another Senate seat to them. So God bless all you do, and keep getting the word out.
Well, thank you, Joe, and thanks for that reminder. For those who are living in Mississippi, it's the last Senate race. The outcome of this will decide. It's actually pretty significant what this race will decide. Now, if the Republican candidate wins, that will give the Republicans 53 seats in the Senate. That's actually a pickup from what they had, not huge. But here's where it has implications that Joe's right to point out that it, you know, might not be the ideal candidate. Actually, I think she's pretty good. So I think she'll be fine as a candidate, although I would say Washington Watch does not endorse or oppose candidates, but her voting record is actually pretty good. That said, let me just go back to what I was mentioning on the issue of the Senate. This will actually affect the structure of the committees. This could adjust the number of Republicans and Democrats on the committees, which could be significant in terms of who has, if the Republicans have two seats on some of these committees, two-seat margin, it takes the ability of one just use an example here. He's not going to be there in the next year, next Congress, but let's say a Jeff Flake, who basically held the Senate hostage on some of the judicial appointments. You know, if there's a more than a one vote margin, it just takes the ability away from certain individuals to, you know, hold the whole Senate captive. So it's actually an important election. So if you live in Mississippi, be sure and vote. 866-372-7234. Got a chance to work in a couple more calls here. Let's go to David in Oklahoma. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yeah, Tony. Just real quick, I wanted to say that I am Hispanic American, and my parents were born in the United States as well. My grandparents were born elsewhere, but I'm totally behind. You know, I love being Hispanic American, but I'm totally behind, you know, immigration reform and some limitations. You know, in the last month, we've seen footage here and there, I guess, of this caravan since its conception. And at times, they're acting pretty disrespectful, it would appear, toward the United States in different ways. And I don't understand how they think, when we see that, that we're supposed to rally behind them or have any feeling toward what they're doing. And that was all I was going to say.
Well, David, thank you for your comments and thoughts on that. And I think they're reflective of a lot of people. And as was pointed out earlier, we are a nation of immigrants. You know, that's what's unique about America. It's really people who are drawn to this country by a shared dream to provide a better life for their family. I mean, it goes back to the pilgrims, why they came here. They wanted to build a society that was more reflective of their values and provided their children a greater future. And it was to, quite frankly, as you read this in the Mayflower document that they wrote, that it was to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Mayflower Compact. And I think people still, I'm thrilled. I say this all the time. I'm thrilled people still want to come to this country with all of our problems. And I say, if you travel much around the world and you see other countries, you know why people want to come here. This is still the greatest place on the face of the earth. And we got our problems and we need to work to fix those. But we can celebrate what's good about America. And I welcome all those who want to come here legally and be a part of advancing this great experiment called America, so that other generations, future generations, can benefit from it. Not just here within the boundaries of this country, but the world benefits from America's success and prosperity. But it only works if we do it within the boundaries of the law, the Constitution. I think it's extremely, extremely, extremely important that the president continue his path of securing our nation's borders. All right, folks. Sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, "You've done everything you do, and you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand. By all means, keep standing."
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.